We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fourth and final hour here from Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Fantasy frenzy this hour. We're going around the SEC. First, though, Mark in Minneapolis. Been patiently waiting for over an hour, Mark. Going back to our earlier conversation involving Andrew Robeson, the Hanville High School quarterback, that it was upheld today. His one-year suspension has been upheld by the LHSAA Executive Committee. Mark, go right ahead.
Hey, Christian. Thanks for taking my call. It's the first time I've called in since moving to Minneapolis. And, you know, after Sunday, I was hotter than a wounded hornet. But I tell you what, when I heard this story this afternoon, I could not believe what I was hearing. These pinhead pencil pushers have no idea, and Coach said it perfectly, they have no idea how badly they are hurting this kid. And these guys are administrators that are supposed to be looking out for the kid.
Yep.
This is absolutely ridiculous. I'll tell you what, this is what I'd love to see happen. I'd love to see the Saints get involved. I'd love to see all the news stations get involved. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have my son's high school team that's still back in Oregon. I'll have them sign a petition, and I'll send it out to you guys. This is crazy.
Well, you know who needs to get involved, Mark? The state legislators. They need to get involved, okay? And look, essentially the way this is set up, Mark, essentially the bad actors who are principals can hide basically behind Bonine. He's the executive director. And Bonine will just say, I just do what the principals want me to do. It's their association. It's a perfect setup, and no one's ever held accountable, ever.
But it's like Coach said. He talked about how they don't even understand when their teams are playing or this and that. The other thing, they do not appreciate student-athletes. I know that for a fact. If this were a robotics thing or a musical or something like that, and some kid got in trouble, they'd find a way. This is the kid's senior year, and they have no appreciation for what student athletics does for any kid. And the senior year is so critical. That's when they understand that they are leaders. They're going out on the field. They are representing their school. There is a tremendous pride that's built up in a kid when they're a senior. I am so hot. I wish I could do something, but here I'm just stuck in Minnesota. But if I was in Louisiana, I don't know this kid. I don't have a dog in the hunt on this thing. But it's just ridiculous when you see any type of administrator or government agency get in the way of a kid. Look, if you're gonna suspend the kid, do it for a game. A whole season? Are you kidding me? I wish the athletic directors would have said, oh, no, no, no. I'm going to call each one of the schools on my schedule, and this kid's going to play. And go ahead. You try to make me forfeit this game, and I'd make every team on that schedule say, it's okay, he's playing. I wish they would have done that. And you know what? There's still time to do it. The
AD
should get on the phone and say, you know what? This kid's playing. And you guys, you can either allow it or you can stand in my way. But this kid is going to be on the field next week. That's what I want to see happen. And I know the school's done everything they can, but this cannot stand. It just can't.
Mark, passionate stuff. I got to run, man. Thanks for your patience, all right? And thanks for calling in. Don't be a stranger. Call some more, all right?
No problem.
All right, there he goes. Mark, all the way up there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Obviously, now time for some fantasy football, fantasy frenzy, I should say, brought to you by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Gulf Coast. And helping us to do so each and every week, Kevin Payne, rotowire.com, KCPayne26 on Twitter, at rotowire as well. And Kevin, thanks so much for the time. We certainly appreciate it. Here we are, week two of the NFL season, and fantasy is underway. What was your biggest surprise from week one?
Probably going into this season, we looked at all these running backs, and all these rookie running backs who we thought were going to make a huge splash. We thought in real-life fantasy, coming out of the draft, you had all these great quarterbacks who are potential franchise players. But the rookie running backs, we were hoping were going to make a huge splash, and it really kind of fell short. Obviously, he had the injury to Darius Geis, and then Sony Michel's a little bit banged up as well. But you even saw in that game Monday night, Kerryon Johnson looked much better than LeGarrette Blount, to me at least, but wasn't getting enough work to really be relevant. Rashad Penny didn't get a lot of work for Seattle. Chris Carson got most of the carries. So I would say that I thought that these rookie running backs were really going to have the potential to make a splash, and they didn't. I'm kind of getting the feeling we might see one or two of these guys really emerge over the second half of the season.
Kevin, if you are owner of Mike Thomas, you got basically two games worth of production last week, 16 receptions.
Yeah, and it's just crazy. This is kind of what everybody was saying before the season started, that he's such a good player and gets so many targets that the volume is so heavy with him. It doesn't matter if he doesn't get into the end zone because the numbers are going to be there almost each and every week. Now, I'm curious to see what happens this week because Denzel Ward looked very legit last week playing against the Steelers. Just looked like he was a veteran and not a rookie. Really showed that it was a good pick by the Browns. I believe it was number 4 overall pick. So it might be a little bit tougher this week, but he's still going to get his again, as I said, just based upon that volume. And if you have him and had him going in any type of PPR format, it was just even more of those bonus points for you.
Kevin, who's your biggest start and who's your biggest sit this week?
This week, gosh, the biggest start I'm going to have is going to be a little bit interesting. I'm going to say go with George Kittle for the San Francisco 49ers. 5 catches for 90 yards at Minnesota. That's against a good defense, and that's on the road. So much easier sledding this week. He gets to go home, and he gets to play against the Detroit team that just got torched by Quincy Enunwa, who kind of plays more like a tight end than a wide receiver. Runs a lot of more of the shorter and intermediate routes rather than the deep routes down the field. So I think that George Kittle is in for a monster week. If I'm going to say go ahead and sit somebody, Derrick Henry. I really don't like this matchup at home against Houston. You got to remember when you look at the Texans, J.J. Watt's back, Jadeveon Clowney's healthy. This is a really, really good defense. I know they got picked apart a little bit last week playing against New England, but that can happen to anybody on any given week. So Derrick Henry, I think, might be the one guy I shy away a little bit from, or I'm a little bit lower. And people should know, too, that he did have a disappointing week one, but he had a long touchdown called back for a phantom holding call that I didn't see happening, and so it should have stood. And then I don't think people would be talking or as worried about Derrick Henry, but, again, don't like this matchup for him.
Kevin Payne, senior writer, RotoWire.com, an expert at RotoWire.com for 2 decades, the industry's premium fantasy sports resource. Let RotoWire help you win at fantasy football. They have all the draft kit information you'll need to dominate your league. Get a free 10-day trial at rotowire.com/free. Kevin, so right now, who would be available in most leagues out there on the waiver wire if an owner's trying to patch up an injury? Who would you suggest they go get?
Yeah, so there's a lot of guys you can take a look at this week. The one guy that really surprised me was Philip Lindsay. He's an undrafted free agent out of Colorado, so he was right there in Denver's backyard. I don't think a lot of people knew about this kid. A lot of people did expect it to be the Royce Freeman show, who, you know, was one of the rookie running backs who had a decent week. Not great, but a pretty good week. So he was out there just because nobody really knew about this guy. So if he's going to get 15 to 20 touches, especially in PPR formats, he's going to have I think he's going to be a very good pickup. Other guys you can take a look at, T.J. Yeldon. Leonard Fournette's banged up. He didn't practice today. We don't know if he's going to give it a go. We don't know. It's a big game against New England, obviously. We don't know if he's going to go. If he doesn't go, T.J. Yeldon is a fantastic play because he's going to get the bulk of the carries. He's going to catch passes out of the backfield. He's already kind of has that third down role even when Fournette's healthy. Other guys you can take a look at, Doug Baldwin's banged up. He is not going to play. Not the greatest matchup going into Chicago. We saw that defense might be pretty dangerous this year. But Tyler Lockett, if he's out there for some reason, is now the number one guy there. Geronimo Allison, he's out there. Being Green Bay's third guy, as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, is good. Quincy Enunwa, mentioned him before, got a ton of targets, continued to do that as Sam Darnold's safety blanket. The other guy I like, a little bit more of a sleeper, Dante Pettis for San Francisco. Caught a touchdown pass last week. Marquise Goodwin looks like he's going to be out, which means Pettis is going to start. Again, this looks like a really good matchup for all those San Francisco players, so make sure you have those guys into your lineup this week.
Kevin Payne, senior writer at RotoWire.com. RotoWire Magazine. Appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
All right, that wraps up Fantasy Frenzy, introducing the new sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Gulf Coast. Forget Vegas. You have home field advantage. This is Sports Talk going around the SEC next here on WWL. Drew and Harvey coming to you. Sit tight. First though, around the SEC, Travis Ryer on Twitter, BamaOnline.com. Alabama traveling to Oxford to take on the Ole Miss Rebels this weekend. And Travis, Alabama is absolutely rolling, even with a dual, quote-unquote, dual quarterback system. Do you think eventually Tagovailoa is going to be the one that they end up going with full-time?
Yeah, I don't get the feeling it's really a two-quarterback situation. I think Tua is clearly the starter, the guy, I guess you could say, Christian. And, you know, Jalen obviously has still a lot of Nick Saban's trust. So I don't think it's a situation where there's any hesitation from Nick to put Jalen in once things get under control, or even if, you know, something were to happen to Tua. But I don't see it as being kind of still an open competition. I think Tua is clearly the number one guy, and then they make the move to Jalen as needed.
Alabama last year rolled over Mississippi last year. It was an absolute bloodbath. Mississippi, Ole Miss, you know, this year did some retooling, got some things going a little bit. Do you expect a closer ball game?
It's going to depend on just how prolific I think that Ole Miss offense can be against an Alabama defense. As we know, revamped secondary, you could see a lot of Patrick Surtain, the second, the true freshman corner, the five-star recruit, back there at the corner position this week for Alabama. And you're going against guys like DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, DeMarcus Lodge, assuming he clears concussion protocol and is good to go this week. And a quarterback in Jordan Tamu who, you know, they haven't missed a step, haven't missed a beat with Tamu stepping in there for Shea Patterson. I think it's going to require Ole Miss turning in an offensive performance for all time. And maybe with Scotty Phillips joining that mix now in the run game, you know, they'll be able to achieve the balance you have to have going against Alabama.
Travis Ryer, at Travis Ryer on Twitter, BamaOnline.com, going around the SEC here on WWL. And Travis, we know Alabama is the best team in the country and have been for a while, and there's been a back and forth with Clemson. But now that one thing they didn't really have is that true passing quarterback, the guy that could sit back there. Now they have that in Tagovailoa. How much more dangerous can Alabama get?
Well, the thing is that Tagovailoa is so talented throwing the football that he could take average receivers and elevate their game, you know, and make them better, make everyone around him better. And right now he's got elite receivers that he's working with. So, you know, that's the real problem for opponents. It's Tua's going to get the job done with just some guys at wide receiver and tight end. But when you include Irv Smith Jr. in there at the tight end position to go along with Devontae Smith and Henry Ruggs III and Jerry Jeudy and Jalen Waddle, this true freshman coming on now, it becomes even more difficult, and that's before we even talk about the running back situation.
Travis, who's the biggest, out of the teams in the top four, who do you think is the biggest threat to Alabama?
Well, I still think you have to go with Clemson, because when it's all said and done, they have the best chance defensively, I think, of forcing Alabama into becoming one-dimensional, similar to what we saw even last year in the Sugar Bowl. Alabama won the game 24-7, but it wasn't pretty, as we know, offensively. And I think that, as much as anything to go along with what we saw against Georgia in the first half, is why Alabama, Nick Saban, feels like it has to go with Tua Tagovailoa right now at quarterback, because there are teams out there, before you even get to Clemson, Auburn, very similar in terms of what they can do defensively, that you have to have that guy at quarterback who can make defenses pay when they, when they focus maybe entirely on slowing down the run game.
Travis, have you had a chance at all to watch any LSU stuff?
I have. I watched the entire game against Miami. Didn't see as much last week against Southeastern Louisiana, though.
Do you see the same deficiency? In other words, I've been telling Tiger fans, hey, if they don't get their O-line together soon, they're going to struggle to win in the SEC.
Yeah, I see some of that. And you know, that you still have to be balanced. And I like the addition of Joe Burrow. I think he's a legitimate, you know, SEC caliber quarterback. But, you know, playmakers around him too have to continue to develop. I think there's promise there from that standpoint, but you hit on it. You know, typically what you expect from LSU is certainly offensive lines that can compete at the highest level. And I know they've had some issues with suspension and things like that, injury, which is tough. But, yeah, they're going to ultimately have to be able to muster something on the ground against the likes of Auburn this week and then Alabama down the road, Georgia down the road. The schedule, to me, is just as much of a problem for LSU as anything else.
Travis Ryer at Travis Ryer on Twitter, BamaOnline.com. Thanks for helping us to go around the SEC.
Thanks, Christian.
All right, you bet. Coming back for Drew and Harvey. Also going to continue to go around the SEC with Logan Lowry covering the Mississippi State Bulldogs for the Daily Journal. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to one of our fans, our listeners. Yesterday we were out on a remote in Mississippi at Beau Rivage, and Johnny Krasnack, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, former U.S. Marine, shows up over there, surprises me with some gear, some Marine Corps gear, a lanyard he gave me, new, fresh, and updated lanyard, along with this really cool baseball-looking jersey with the Eagle Globe and Anchor of the United States Marine Corps on the left breast, and then the number 75 on the back. Of course, the Marine Corps founded in 1775, November 10th. And a couple other cool little trinkets, a magnet, another shirt, along with a bumper sticker. Want to thank Johnny Krasnack for doing that yesterday. You guys certainly didn't have to do that, but I appreciate you thinking of me and Semper Fi to you, Johnny. Drew and Harvey, what's going on, Drew? You're on WWL.
Hey, can you hear me, Christian?
I can.
My phone's a little wild. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to get back to the LSSAA thing. I'm a former, you know, high school athlete in Louisiana. I played at East Extension for 4 great years under 2 head coaches in different systems. I can tell you right now that there's coaches out there that are doing far worse than letting a future player wear a jersey. A guy by the name of Benny Shea was recruiting kids out of Gonzales Middle to go to Dutchtown High School for the longest time. Guys like Kelvin York that went to Utah. Torrance Mosley that went to TCU. These guys and those guys. And it's basically, the LHSA is up to the highest bidder. That's all there is to it.
Drew, look, the biggest thing is this, all right? There is no oversight and no accountability for the LHSAA because of the way it's constructed. They don't have to answer to anybody, and they can stick to these rules. And look, and it's comprised of principals and administrators that if they don't like Coach Salta Famaggio for whatever reason, or if they have something to, or any program, if there's just too much, there's not enough checks and balances, and there's just too much overall of, hey, vindictiveness. Hey, if I don't like that school, or if I was once fired from that school and now I'm on this board that can make decisions like this, then I'm going to take it out on that school. And I think it's an impartial way of handing out ruler. It's partial. There's bias to it, okay? And that bothers me, especially in the case of Andrew Robeson, who I don't feel like did anything wrong except for take a picture for the Louisiana Sportsman or Louisiana High School Football Magazine that was given the jersey by one of his friends who was on Hanville in his football team. Drew, it's a sad story. It's a sad state of football in this state. Other states have it right, Texas, Florida. They have to report to the state legislator. I would like to encourage state legislators to draft some sort of bill, to benefit this kid. I don't necessarily care. This is probably the wrong way to say it. I don't care what happens to Coach Saul. I don't. He's a big boy. He can handle this, all right? And it's unfortunate. But to see a young man, a senior in high school, give up his senior year because of something that the adults couldn't get right, I got a problem with that. I just do. Logan Lowry, at Logan Lowry on Twitter, working for the Daily Journal, covering the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Logan, you stepped into a bit of a hot conversation. I don't know if you heard about this ruling today. A high school senior at Hanville High School was, once again, his suspension was upheld to 1 year. So he's not going to be able to play football in his senior season. But, Logan, I brought you on to talk about the SEC and the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And overall, how would you assess the season for the Bulldogs in week three?
Well, I was waiting to see how Mississippi State did at Kansas State. Obviously, you know, week one they played Stephen F. Austin, won 63-6, and that's kind of what you expected. And coming into this year, Mississippi State looked like they had all the pieces on paper. But I wanted to see what they actually produced out there on the field. You know, first-year coach and, you know, all kind of new coaches, you know, new coordinator on both sides of the ball and everything like that. And they went up to Kansas State and just dominated. And it's not that Kansas State's some juggernaut or anything like that, but it's just the fact that they were playing 11 o'clock in the morning. Their temperatures were in the, you know, high 50s, low 60s up there. Early morning, not much fan support up there in Manhattan, but Mississippi State rolled the ball out there and dominated on both sides of the ball in that one. So, you know, I thought they were legit coming into the year, and through two games, they look every bit that part.
Got UL, or excuse me, Louisiana Lafayette this weekend at home for them in Stark Vegas, as you will. But what? Okay, so you like how they started, but is there a hole on this team? Where would it be? Is there a concern?
There's some concerns. I don't know if there's any particular holes on this team right now, but there's some concerns. Obviously, the quarterbacks are both the quarterbacks, you know, Keaton Thompson in game one, Nick Fitzgerald in game two, they're both throwing only 40. They're only completing 42% of their passes or less. So they need to get that completion percentage up. There's been some substitution issues with the new coaching staff, getting the right personnel on, in and out, through the plays and stuff like that. They've had to take some delayed game penalties and too many men on the field and things like that. And just there were 11 penalties in last week's game, and obviously those need to be cleaned up. But, you know, outside of that, they've looked really, really good on both sides of the ball.
How has Nick Fitzgerald grown?
Well, you wanted to see him grow through the passing game. And like I said, he's hitting it about 40% in that first game, and the passing game just, you know, didn't click for him last week. And, you know, he looked really – I couldn't tell if he was nervous in the pocket or if he was overly excited in the pocket. He's got a big arm, and, you know, he's eager to showcase that in Joe Moorhead's offense. They're going to be throwing the ball downfield a whole lot more this year. But, you know, any trepidation, you saw the gruesome ankle injury last Thanksgiving. He hasn't been hit going into last week's game. He hadn't been hit since last Thanksgiving. So you wanted to see how he handled that situation. Well, he rushed 19 times for 159 yards. So I think the ankle's fine. But it's the passing. He needs to be more accurate with his passes. They made big plays through the passing game the first 2 weeks, but they just haven't been very accurate.
Hey, Dan Mullen off to Florida now. Obviously, it's well underway in the Gators. But just explain to me how good of a shape he left that program in.
Yeah, the cupboard was definitely not bare at all. I mean, Mississippi State was loaded. You know, in fact, I think this may have been Dan Mullen's best team at Mississippi State, had he chose to stay in Starkville. I mean, obviously, everybody looks back to that group that he had in 2014 when he went to number one for six straight weeks. But I think this team is probably more talented than that team was. So, and especially on the defensive side of the ball, they're absolutely loaded on that defensive line with Jeffrey Simmons, Montez Sweat. And not only are they loaded on that first front, they've got guys in that second and third group that could start for just about anybody else in the country. They're, you know, talented and deep at that position. So, yeah, and then Kylan Hill, the last 2 weeks, he's emerged as kind of that Saquon Barkley type. You know, Joe Moorhead had him at Penn State the last couple of years, turned him into a superstar, the number two overall draft pick this past April, and, you know, Kylan Hill fits that mold perfectly.
Going around the SEC, Logan Lowry helping us to do so, at Logan Lowry on Twitter, writes for the Daily Journal, covering the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Logan, we'll let you run, man. Thanks. We'll visit with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right, you bet. We'll step away and come back, visit with former LSU quarterback Herb Tyler. Tigers stepping in to conference play this Saturday on the Plains in Auburn. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. Early lead Thursday night football underway. The Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Flacco throwing a pick six. The Bengals on top of the Ravens 7-0. 10:35 remaining in that ball game. So Baltimore gets the ball back. Week two certainly underway. Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback, my guy at Herb Tyler 4, joining us now. Herb, how are you, my man?
I'm great, K-Dog. How you doing, my baby?
Good, man. Good. Look, first off, I wanted to get – I know you and I talked about this when we were in Dallas, and I think even last week. And I know you're in tune here. Andrew Robeson, you heard this story, right? His suspension was upheld today by the LHSAA.
I saw that. Was that not a sad scene, man? Did you see the mom? I'm watching the video of it, and the mom just – she looked distraught, man. And the kid was so – I'm going to tell you, the kid was so – intelligent, he spoke very well, articulate in getting his point across when he asked certain questions that he wanted to know, and the board couldn't even give him answers to the questions that he asked. I mean, at this point, man, it's just, you know, I said it a couple weeks ago, man, the LHSAA is kind of trying to mimic the NCAA for whatever reason. I don't know why. Sometimes you just got to do right by people, man, And like Coach Saltzman-Mizio said, it's going to be tough for some people to really sleep at night after this decision that they made.
So you heard that? You heard that interview?
Yeah, man, I could tell that he had some tears in his eyes. I could tell how hard, you know, how passionate he was for, you know, for Hinesville High, for you know, the community, for you know, his leader in his principal, but most of, you know, foremost, for the kid, man. The kid doesn't deserve that at all, you know, and the family members that's with him, his mom, grandfather, and all those people, man, it's, you know, the whole situation is just not, it's something that, you know, it's something that, which is sad to say, that our country is starting to turn to, man. It's just, we're just turning our backs on each other and never coming together at once.
Herb Tyler at HerbTyler4 on Twitter, former LSU quarterback. Let's talk about those LSU Tigers. They open conference play this Saturday on the road in a really, really tough environment in Auburn. I know that you've played there. You did well there, but, man, what does a young team have to do in order to pull out what would be an upset on
the
road?
Look, man, I'm going to tell you right now, Jordan Hess Stadium is one of the most difficult places to play. For one, they eat, sleep, and breathe football at Auburn University, man. And they're coached well. They got a lot of great talent. The fans are going to be there. It's a beautiful setting. It's a great venue to play football. You know, I'm going to tell you, it's all going to, you know, start and stop with the defense first and foremost. They've got to make sure that they continue to have the games that they've been having. They pitched a shutout last week. I know a lot of people weren't too happy about, you know, the 31 points that we actually put up. But, hey, 31 to nothing against anybody is really good. I like it. I'm okay with it. So, you know, we got to fly around the ball on defense and make some plays, make some tackles, get some turnovers, kind of get them off, you know, out of sync on offense. And then as far as our offense is concerned, it's going to have to go through Joe. I think we're going to have to get the ball out of his hand quick, you know, get the balls into some of the playmakers on the outside's hand, and we also got to run the ball, man. We got to have a solid run game. I mean, I'm not saying we need to run the ball 40 times, you know, this particular game, but we definitely need to open some holes up and let those running backs gain some yardage so we can kind of keep this thing balanced.
Ke'Lavon Chaisson, they lost him in week one. How much have they missed him?
A lot, man. I mean, for one, he's that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the guy that they look to fill the Arden Key shoes, if you will. And he's that guy that's on the rise to become one of those, you know, new rising NFL stars. So, and he had a lot of energy. He was always around the ball. He was, you know, causing havoc, making plays in the backfield. So, and you can't just replace that. You know what I'm saying? That's like, you know, you can't replace one of your high energy guys that's really looking forward to a good season, and he's new to it and he's really anxious to get out there and do it. But, you know, things happen. So I think we have a great coach in Coach Aranda, and I think he's going to be able to mix the personnel up to be able to not give us the same situation that Chaisson gave us, but at the same time create, you know, put those guys in great situations so they can create havoc as well.
Herb, do you need to see LSU push the ball down the field a little bit in this game, even though the offensive line is still a work in progress?
So what I need to see is I think we need to be a little bit more balanced on passing the ball on first down. I think we need to get the ball out of Joe's hands soon, early, establish a run game. And what I mean by soon, let me go back there. What I mean by soon, you know, 5 yards, 10-yard routes or whatnot, some slip screens here and there, things of that nature. If you're going to go deep, three-step and let it go deep, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, hit them just 20 yards down the field or whatnot on the outside, let the guys go up and see what they can do and catch the ball out of the air. But I think that Joe has been steady thus far. I think he's going to do well. It's going to be a different environment. It's not going to be a neutral site. It's going to be at Auburn, so you're going to see a whole different type of atmosphere there. And, you know, this game is been one of the toughest games ever. Like, I just remember back in 96 when I played against Auburn. We won in Auburn. I think the score was like 19-15 or something like that. And then came back in 97, and we lost at home at LSU, like 36-34 or whatever. Then we go back to Auburn in 98, and we beat them 31-19, by which that particular game, just so you know, Christian, I was the SEC Player of the Week offensively by throwing three touchdowns and running for two, just so you know. But anyway, but you know, just showing you the difference. You know, last year we ended up beating Auburn, which I think Auburn was a little bit more of a superior team. But the two teams are so equal in talent, and you know, and I think any team can win on any given day. So we'll see exactly who wants this game more coming up this Saturday. And I think, once again, like I said, I think we'll see a different offense. And I don't mean different by play calling, but I'm hoping to see a more hungry offense.
You got to come out with some intensity. I thought they lacked that a little bit last week.
I think so. I think you know, it's hard. Look, I'm gonna tell you, man. They went to Dallas, a neutral site. They're going to Jerry's World. They're playing the number 8 ranked team in the country. They everybody's told them how bad they were all summer, and spring. They're ranked number 25. I mean, they were on an incredible high in Dallas, and then you come back and you got to play Southeastern. You know, whom Southeastern is. You know, there's a little brother down the street. So. And there's nothing wrong with Southeast. There's nothing wrong with what they have going on over there. You know, those guys are going to be fine in their conference. But it's just difficult to get up. So, but listen, we did what we were supposed to do. We defense pitched a shutout, which means 0 points on the board for their offense, and we scored 31 points. I think, you know, we scored one touchdown in the second half. I mean, I'd like to see maybe two or three. But at the same time, do you really risk injury to in a game like that when you know you have such a big game the following week? So, you know, I see it from both sides. So, but I'm okay with a 31-0 win against Southeastern last week and then gearing up and getting prepared for Auburn this week.
Herb Tyler, number 14 in your program, number one in yards, at Herb Tyler 4 on Twitter, former LSU quarterback. Herb, we'll see you Saturday, man. Looking forward to Tiger tailgating at 9 a.m. Saturday morning.
Can't wait to see you, K-Dog, man. I'm gonna bring some warm, hot breakfast and some coffee for us, all right?
There we go. All right, cool. All right, Herb.
All right. Okay, man, thank you.
All right, you bet. We'll step away and come back for Lee in Houston to wrap this thing up here live from Hooters on Vets and Metairie. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. A.J. Green and the Cincinnati Bengals all over the Baltimore Ravens, 14-0 early in the first quarter of that ball game. And A.J. Green just catching a little slant, get off me defender, and houses it. Welcome back to Sports Talk, winding down here live from Hooters on Vets in Metairie. We're here every Thursday during the football season, during the Saints Players Show. Next week, it'll be Arthur Millette. Shout out to Bonneville, cornerback for the Saints. He will be our Saints Players guest next week here live at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Lee in Houston, Texas. What's going on, Lee? You're on WWL.
Hey, good evening, Christian. Thank you for taking my phone call. I've been listening to most of the show, and about this ruling that came down on the Hondo quarterback. I guess the one question I can ask, I want to ask, is at the time when the kid went on this photo shoot, if he would have had on a practice jersey with no team's name on it or anything, would that have made him eligible?
Yeah, I don't know. But, Lee, I think some of this really stems from, I'm not quite sure if the Robeson family established residency in the Hondville School District before that photo shoot.
Before he went on that photo shoot.
Right. So that's the crux of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
No, yeah, but it's still, even if that's what happened, even if that's what happened, I get it. I'm fine with suspending the coach for 4 games. I'm fine with maybe levying some fines on the school or, you know, what have you. But don't sit up here and tell me that a senior in high school should lose his entire final year in school and playing football when you're going to impact that this kid has an opportunity to play college football.
Yes, I do agree with you. And that just shows you how much – how petty the LHSAA is with all of that. I played high school basketball in the 80s, and I was at a Class C school, so, you know, but I saw it a lot often, you know, students and players transferring to other schools, to different parts of the city, and become eligible right away because their grades were right and things like that. So I do agree with you in terms of the pettiness of the LHSAA. I promise you that if it was one of their kids, we would have something different.
What do you mean by one of their kids?
If one of their kids was in this situation.
Oh. Yep. I don't know. It's hard to juxtapose that, but I got a kid that's 11. I got an 11-year-old son that could be playing some sort of high school athletics in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. And It scares me, honestly, Lee. Excuse me. It scares me, Lee, that ultimately he could fall under this same similar kind of, you know, inconsistent behavior from the LHSAA. And that bothers me as a parent. And look, we're getting flooded, inundated with pleas for help for Andrew Robeson on the text line at 870-870. I mean, I am blown away by how much the community that not even Hanville High School football fans, just the people in this state, in this region, want to help this young man because they recognize the injustice that's been done to a 18-year-old kid. We can handle adults getting in trouble and getting punished. I'm fine with that. But this is an injustice, no matter what and some people say, well, I've heard a few other things. Well, according to the LHSAA, those other things weren't the case today. It came down to, you know, he wore that jersey for a football magazine shoot. Come on, LHSAA, you didn't get this right. Todd Jacobs at our on-site engineer. Mark Menard back at Master Control. Could have done it without either of you two guys. I want to thank Hooters for having us as well. We'll be here every Thursday. Seth Dunlap coming up next with the final lap. This is Sports Talk Semper Fi. I'm out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.